So how to put yesterday in its proper context? 3 golds in 1 hour. 6 gold after 5 days. Rio and London, it was 8 gold in each of those 2 games. By today, that could be equaled. In the most perfect world, it could be surpassed. Nobody better than Bruce McAvaney, who's about to join me to discuss Australia's one crowded hour.
N57.
The Australians giving it everything. Just in front. Netherlands not getting there yet. Still Australia marginally in front. It's Netherlands trying ever so hard, but the Australians are holding on and win gold. Oh, what a performance.
11-16.
50 metres to row, a chaotic finish. But yes, the Australians hold on. The Australians have done it. The Australians have done it. The gold medal is coming home.
Fantastic.
We have a new awesome foursome.
11-46.
She really needs to put her head down.
Ledecky was fifth at the turn. I don't think the great American can get into the gold medal position. Now she goes up, Arnie. She gets into the lead. Ariane Titmus, the legend is growing before our eyes. She does it again. An Olympic record. Oh. A golden double. Ariane Titmus, the 2-4.
We've never needed Olympics, Bruce Moore, legendary Channel 7 broadcaster Bruce McAvaney. Bruce, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Jared, a lot's happened since we've spoken.
It has, for an Olympic aficionado. How remarkable was that one golden hour yesterday?
It's as good as it gets, Jared, isn't it? I mean, and each of those races were remarkable. They were tight, they were close, you're on the edge of your seat, and they turned out to be historic. So, you know, 3 gold medals in a day is the 5th time it's happened, but it feels even more special because they were so packed into one another. They're two of our great sports. Swimming, obviously, we ride on the back of it. It's been the one sport that if it does well, we do well, and Titmus has become, not an overnight sensation, but she's gone from someone who could be great to somebody who certainly is that, and the two rowing, just in the right races too, weren't they? Those Coxless Fours that bring back so many beautiful memories.
Perfect echoes of nostalgia and 25 years on from a men's perspective. Just the overall, Bruce, so 6 gold medals in 5 days. I think, I'm not sure about your perspective, but Rio and London tended as they went along to be measured by what hadn't been won, and there was political acrimony that developed across those games. This gives Australia I felt like yesterday re-established Australia as the nation that was there in Beijing and Athens and Sydney when we grew those gold medal halls to historic levels. Have you got that sense?
Absolutely. No, I think you're spot on. I mean, it was coming in Atlanta. I mean, we got so many bronze medals in Atlanta with 9 medals, and that was the build to Sydney. But those 3 games, 2000, 2004 and 2008, were the ones that got us into that sort of top five. We were getting in the middle teens, you know, between 14 and 17 gold medals in those 3 games. And then the disappointment in London, and I think the real disappointment in Rio, because I thought we'd bounce back in Rio and we didn't. And as you say, there was a lot of head scratching, hair pulling and accusations. And here we are now. We're feeling like, yep, we're back where we would like to be. And that's a powerhouse in Olympic sports. And that's the case. So, you know, we couldn't have had a much better start. And when you look at today, Jared, it's quite mind-blowing what might happen in the pool today. I mean, what happened yesterday might be matched today in an hour and a half of swimming.
It would be incredible. So I'm not sure how much, so the ratings will tell you, the national mood within the Olympics, it is unique. We spoke about this just before the Games and why it's still the big international event in sport. Is the national mood was sent soaring yesterday?
It was, and look, the ratings have been phenomenal. You'd expect that to be. I mean, we're getting figures that have been unmatched since Sydney. Sydney was always going to be impossible to beat, the opening ceremonies and the Freeman night and the Thorpe race, but this is the closest we've had to it, Jared. So in many ways, it's a rejuvenation, not just of the country at the moment, because we need it so desperately with what everyone's been going through. But I think of the Australian Olympic Committee as well and the support they're going to get from this point on. And the fact that Brisbane, I know, you know, it's 11 years away, but it's not far away. We talked about and joked about that the other day. So everything's sort of just coming together, isn't it? I mean, you must be feeling this as well. Everything's sort of coming together. It's almost like the perfect storm for a rise again in that Olympic spirit and that, I think, interest in Olympic sports.
And there's nothing like having an iconic figure, and that's what Ariane Titmus has become. So matching the deeds of Shane Gould, and now, you know, there's a lot more on offer to her. What are we seeing in Ariane from a historic Olympic perspective?
Right there with the very best. And you mentioned Shane Gould and what she did as a 15-year-old in Munich. But and you think to yourself sometimes, Joe, what makes somebody extra special? It was the big build-up with Ledecky. It was the quality of the win. It was who she beat. It's the way she carries herself on and off the track, so to speak. But you think back to Thorpe and all the things that we think about Thorpe. I think in many ways it's him swimming down Gary Hall more than him winning those individual gold medals. So it's a moment that we remember, and that moment with Titmus and Ledecky. But in the 400, I mean, the 200 was incredible too, but it was the 400. It was those two women willing themselves in that last 50 metres. It was sport as good as it ever gets. Something had to give, and it did. So I was thinking about, you know, what elevates somebody. And Thorpe was elevated in my eyes, you know, in Sydney in that very first gold medal that he won. So, yeah, it takes a special moment to make somebody remarkable in our eyes. And Ariane's done that certainly once and twice here. And I think she's got a good chance of coming home with four gold medals.
It would be incredible. Where would that put her in the scheme of things?
Well, right there. I mean, who are the legends? Well, Betty Cuthbert and Dawn Fraser jump at me. You know, Cuthbert, the only male or female to win a 100, 200 and 400. Boy, oh boy. Fraser set the bar for everybody, you know, with 100 times three, and then Egazeki equaled it with a 200 backstroke, and then Phelps matched it and went beyond it. But so they're sort of the benchmark for me, Betty and Dawn. And then, you know, then you have a one-off, Jared, like Herb Elliott, you know, breaking the world record of the 1,500 metres and demolishing the field. But it was such a... It was that lightning bolt. So it's a good question. I mean, the collective of Gould in 1972, the consistency of Andrew Hoy over a long period of time, Anna Mears, whatever. I mean, there's a long, long list. But she's there. She's absolutely there. I mean, we have other athletes that have won more medals, and they're... You do it either way. You can be a collector, and that's no... criticism. There are some incredible athletes that have collected. There are a couple of others that don't need to collect. They only need to produce a performance or two and you can remember them forever. Titmus has got a bit of both, I reckon. She's got a bit of both. She's young. I think she could end up arguably, you know, surpassing Thorpe. She may end up being our most important swimmer of all time alongside. I have Fraser just in front of Thorpe, to be honest.
Yep.
And I think Titmus has got the potential to be there.
There's three lovely elements in these games around her. There's one, her fearsome determination and her beautiful demeanour, the capturing of, I'm just a kid from a small town in Tassie, but this is what can be done. Her coach, so you've got the Laurie Lawrence effect with the over-exuberance, something that we can smile at and laugh at and tap into. And then her parents, I think that lends into these games as crucial without crowds and without being able to be there. And her parents have done a superb job in conveying what it means to them and the journey and the sacrifices that have gone into it. How have you found that package tied together around her to provide almost the complete story?
It's perfect, isn't it? And you've summed it up so well, because that's what it is. We love our champions to have light and shade, don't we? We want them to be somebody that we can relate to. And with Ariane, she is the girl next door. She's that gorgeous, you know, person you'd love to meet. Mum and dad are normal. They're, you know, they're enthusiastic. They say all the right things. You know, I know them well. I certainly know Steve well through work over the years. And the coach, I mean, Stephen Quartermain and Laurie Lawrence, yes, and Duncan Armstrong. I think you're young enough to remember, you know, Dean Boxall. You'd love. I'd be frightened to go up with a microphone next to Dean. I reckon Porters even wouldn't do it. But yeah, you look, it's that mix, isn't it? It looks a bit like our backstroker. I mean, we like personality and
yes,
characters. Certainly, Kayleigh McEwen provided a bit of light and shade, didn't she? So yeah, we relate to them. So look. Titmus is, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? The potential was there, Gerard. I mean, we talked about it last week, I think. And everyone's thought the potential was there. What's made the story even greater is the three things you mentioned, and the fact that Ledecky was the mountain that was sitting in front of her. It's the perfect storm. It really is, in terms of what she's had as a challenge and now what she's achieving and going to finish up with at the end of these Olympic Games.
Isn't it funny that Kaylee's given us the motto of the Games, but it's a motto that we can't say on air? We can all think it. You can put it on social media, but we can't say it.
Exactly. She's changed the vernacular of the country, I think. But anyways, God, what a cheeky little thing she is, eh?
Yes. That's the way to win a gold medal. You can say what you like and you become a national darling in the immediate aftermath. The 100 freestyle today. So Kyle Chalmers, he was the moment of Rio. Now he tries to defend his title. He's the underdog against Caleb Dressel. What's your sense of anticipation for it?
Everything, Jared. It's the heavyweight championship in so many ways. Ledecky was the showdown. This is massive, isn't it? I mean, no male has ever done it twice from Australia. Sort of the gods in swimming have done it over the years. If you look at those names that have gone back to back, it's a bit like 100 metres on the track. And he's got, you know, obviously Dressel's the one that we know best. But the Russian, who's already got one medal and was easily the fastest, I don't think the young Romanian can rise and win. But I think it's just the heavyweight championship in many ways. I think he'll win. I do. I just feel like he's the best racer. I hope he doesn't get too close to them at halfway, because I think they're going to go out so hard. I think he'll swim his own race, Jared, and I think he's going to come home over the top. You love calling, and so do I. How many races have we won in the swimming pool when we have been coming from behind?
I know.
It's sort of rare. It's been our trademark through these games, hasn't it?
The last 50 of Titmus yesterday, that's a caller's dream, isn't it? Coming from fourth over the top.
And that's what Chalmers is... Well, he did it in Rio. It's what he's going to be a long way back. If I'm not sure what the odds makers make of today's race, but I think he's got as good a chance as anyone. I think he can win. I just think he's got that ability to hold his nerve and to rise to the occasion. And I think he can win. One interesting thing I've noticed, Jared, not many world records.
Yes.
In the pool, normally we get a glut of them. And it's not. And that's just an observation, because the swimming has been at the highest standard. I mean, Ledecky and Titmus were so close. But very few world records.
I wonder if it speaks to the times, as in the age and the preparations that...
I think it's a maturing of the sport in a way, a maturing since the bodysuits. I think there is a... You know, they get to a certain level where records, and track and field suffer from this, records are so hard to break because, you know, there's such a history involved with them and so many great ones have been in front of you. But that's one thing that sort of has jumped at me in the last day or so, that, you know, the swimming's been magnificent and it doesn't matter, but there have been very few world records.
We pondered just before they started what kind of games these would be, and we didn't know. The opening ceremony had its iconic moments, the drone and the lighting of the flame. Japan's won 13 gold medals. They topped the table thus far. These, despite all the circumstances and not having people there, they feel like the Olympics. That fear of it's not going to be all that we need it to be. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel as deeply into the games as ever, just not being there.
I'm the same. And you know, I'm going to get a real feel for this tomorrow, because track and field starts, athletics starts. I'm not going to be there. The stadiums are going to be empty. That's going to be the big test, Jared, because it's the biggest stadium, and those stands are going to jump out at us. They're going to probably shoot it in a way where they probably try and take away that feeling as much as possible. But yeah, look, I'm like you. These have been so enjoyable. You and I, like everybody else, are completely enveloped by them. It's as if nothing has happened, and we know everything has. Tomorrow might be a little bit of, oh, okay, I don't think so. But yeah, no, we couldn't have dreamt for a better first, 6 days of competition. It's really, I think, for anyone that might have been really doubtful about whether the game should go on or not, but like their sport would be thinking, thank God they have.
Give me a little taster for the track and field, Bruce, maybe from an Australian perspective first, and then I'll ask you about the international scene. What are you really looking forward to in the green and gold?
I'm excited by this team, Judah. They're young. What I love about this team, they're in form. Now, there are a couple of injury problems, concerns, and a couple of the athletes, I think, are going to struggle to fulfill their potential, and one or two are pretty high profile. But there's a lot of potential in this team. Now, best medal chances are Nicola McDermott in the high jump and Stuart McSwain in the 1500. But Brandon Stark's not without a hope, and Eleanor Patterson's not without a hope. And I think there's a young decathlete, Ash Maloney, who could be anything, Jared. He's a world junior champion. He's something, Ash Maloney. So, but look, I'm not suggesting he's going to win gold, silver, or bronze here, but I think he could do something that's going to really catch our eye. So, Lyndon Hall, there's a whole range. So I'm really collectively, I'm really excited about this Australian team. You know, from Rowan Browning all the way through. So, I feel like there's a bit of a turn in track and field in this country. So, I'm hoping I'm right.
And internationally, what's your greatest sense of anticipation?
Look, there's a long list, but I'll get it down to a couple. It's a women's 100 metres. So you've got Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. There are five women here that could do something that no female has ever done, and that's win a third gold medal in an individual event. And she gets the first crack. So no female has ever won the 100 metres on three occasions, and she's got a great chance. But Elaine Thompson is probably the equal favourite, and no female has won the 100, 200 double twice. So the both of them are on the verge of something pretty remarkable, the two Jamaicans. They haven't got it to themselves. So the women's 100, and then all the way up to the marathon and away with Eliud Kipchoge. Look, he's, I think, the greatest marathoner ever. It's either he or Abibi Bekele. It's a toss-up. He probably has to win this to confirm that. But he was basically, he's won 12 out of 14 marathons. He's the world record holder. He did the sub two, as we know, and he's also the defending champion. But it'll be brutal, the marathon, and I don't think he's as good as he was, and he's 36 years of age. It will be a test for one of the giants of the sport. So from the 100 through to the marathon.
Yeah.
And Jared, if we had time, we could go through them all.
Oh, can't wait to hear you call them all, Bruce. So just as we finish, Simone Biles' withdrawal from the Games, and we spoke about who could inherit that mantle. What a blow for gymnastics, for US television. What a sign of modern sport. How have you absorbed the withdrawal of Biles?
It was a shock. I mean, I was keen to watch everything she did, and you could tell that, well, okay, she's not quite going as well as we wanted her to go, but she produced a couple of things that even took my breath away even then. But it was a big shock, but I'm so impressed by her, Joe. I mean, how she spoke and just her courage, her backstory is just, it's just so hard to get your head around that she's been able to achieve so much with all the things she's been through. She's a brave woman. But as you said, the times have changed. There would have been a lot of a different reaction 30 years ago. She probably wouldn't have made the decision 15 years ago. It's a massive sacrifice, but it's the right one for her, and sort of applaud it. And I think, in many ways, she's become a greater champion. And she's not going to be the star that we were hoping she might be, the colossus of the Games, the global star, but she's left a mark in another way that might be just as good in terms of being a role model for people going forward. So I've got the utmost respect for her.
Bruce, thanks a lot for your time this morning. The very best of luck with the track and field from tomorrow. We'll be watching and we'll be listening.
Always a pleasure, mate. See you, Jerry.